to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Ah, happy Monday. Oh, we're almost halfway through the month of July. Can you believe it? And each day, God grows a beautiful flower of His love just for you in the garden of your heart for you to enjoy. Now, I don't have a whole lot of flowers. The flowers I do have, I planted in pots, and I try to water them, every two or three days. You know that the last 3 weeks, that's the last week of June and then into July, it has been 90 degrees or higher. And today we're expecting 99, and it still isn't the record, because the record in 2022 was 102. So I guess we should be grateful for that. And I hope as you're listening from your home, you're either got some cool air, or I have ice water here in front of me. And so I hope that we can enjoy and experience God's love no matter what the circumstances. And I want to be that kind of person. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's do the Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. And Darren used to say repeatedly over the radio, God has more provision than you have need. And it's just like Philippians 4:19. Your God shall supply all your need according to what? Not your riches, His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's so beautiful. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And you can hear us at 9 o'clock at night, at 2:30 in the morning, at 5:30 in the morning on 670 KLTT. In fact, if you've been listening to 5:30 for the last 30 years, we have had that program on that at that time for those that long. And so if you've been listening, there's no change. And then at 11 o'clock in the morning, you can listen to our program at 1220 KLDC. You can also listen on Spotify, although I need to just maybe not warn you, but let you know that when you're typing in Freedom ST Radio for Spotify, if I have a song on my program, they don't have the whole, they just take the whole program off. So there are some gaps in the timing. But I love music, and I love to listen to music. Music opens the hearts. It really does, and has people listening for the music and the lyrics, and yet God just kind of plunks some of the word right down in deep in their hearts. It's just so beautiful. You can also give online. Thank you so much for your donations. Oh, I was just telling Rachel that this hot weather and then the smoke and all the things that are going on right now, you just feel kind of drug out, don't you? Well, we have the wonderful enthusiasm and joy of God, and I'm so grateful for that. And in Philippians 4:13 in the Passion, it says, the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses, that means it's going all through my body, soul, and spirit, infuses me to conquer any difficulty. Wow. What a great verse of scripture. Thank you so much, Paul. Well, I was watching the soccer match this last weekend between England and Norway. I was voting for Norway. You know, they haven't gotten it that much. And so, and lately they've been losing all the teams I've been rooting for. And the whole Colosseum was singing God Save Our Queen for England. And I realized, have you ever gone by something over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden one day you see that it's something that you haven't noticed before? Well, when they were singing God Save Our Queen, because it used to be God Save Our King, I realized it was the melody to My Country, Tis of Thee. Now, how many times have I sung My Country, Tis of Thee? It hasn't gone in my brain. And so I want to read this and then read a little bit about the composer. This is so good. And you probably know it by heart. My Country, Tis of Thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, and boy, do we have the mountains, let freedom ring. Oh, praise the Lord, our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Oh, I'll tell you, Samuel Smith knew where to put the credit, where to put the accolades, where to put the praise. And that is in our King Jesus and God, our Creator. He was born on October 21st, 1808. Boy, some of these composers and authors, they were born in the 17 and 1800s. What happened to the last few years? I don't know. We don't have the brainiacs that they did in the 17 and 1800s. He was born in Boston and was an American Baptist minister. And that's why he knew how to put these songs together. Oh, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. I mean, that comes from somebody who knows the word of God. So he's best known for his lyrics of My Country, Tis of Thee. While a student at Andover Theological Seminary, Smith was asked by composer Lowell Mason to write and adapt lyrics for German songs, including one set to the music of God Save the King. What? It seems like the Germans just had so much. They had the edge in the 17 and 1800s, really did. And praise the Lord. I just wish they wouldn't have set their minds to destroying the world. I don't know why they did. Well, yes, it's the devil. And so here on July the 4th, 1831, he composed, now that's before the Civil War, he composed the English words, America, My Country, Tis of Thee. The song was first published in 1832 and quickly became one of the United States' unofficial national anthems. My Country, Tis of Thee remains a beloved patriotic hymn, especially during national celebrations and as a symbol of American identity. Praise the Lord. That's so good. So good. And when we have our meetings right around the 4th, I try to remember that. My Country, Tis of Thee, sweet land of liberty. Oh, let us not forget that, folks. Land of liberty. I know sometimes we think it's so messed up, but it's a land of liberty where you can basically, okay. It's like one day, John came home. This was the early 80s. And he said, I am tired of working for other people. And he said, I really believe God is calling us to open our own store. Well, I was kind of shocked. But I've always agreed with John and Darren in their big decisions that they've made. And so I said, oh, okay, well, what do we need? What do we need to open a store here in Greeley? And so he told me that we probably need a truck to transport the pianos and organs, and we need a place that where we can set them up. So we went to Kohler's, who had an appliance store, and right next door they had a little store, 500 square feet. And so he said, sure, you can rent that. And he says, it'll just be minimal. I don't really want to rent that space to you for any money. And so then 3 years later, we moved to the larger John Wells Music Center, which was 10,000 square feet. So from 500 to 10,000. And folks, you know what? Myra Montfort, Ken Montfort, who owned Montfort Feed and cattle and all, a multimillionaire, she came into our 500 square foot store, shag carpet, and she bought a beautiful 6'2" grand piano from us. Isn't that beautiful for their home? And so I think sometimes we think we have to be so wealthy looking that we attract people in, but it's God who does it. It really is. So, wow, what a trip down memory lane. Let's get on with our program. Oh, our memory verse for this week is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace, the peace of his kingdom at all times and in all ways, under all circumstances, conditions, whatever comes. Peace, peace. The Lord be with you all. And then the Message translation of 2 Thessalonians 3:16, may the Master of Peace himself give you the gift of getting along with each other at all times, in all ways. May the Master be truly among you. Oh, there are times, folks, I have to really ask God for patience when it comes to some people. I'm sorry. See, we just all don't all agree with all the personalities. And sometimes I've heard people talking so loudly. Why do they talk so loudly? That my ears hurt. And I'm saying, oh, Father, forgive them. Because that's the only thing we are meant to say. Father, forgive them. And if I can be of any assistance, Lord, in telling them they talk so loud. Oh, wow. I don't know what's wrong with me today. It's the weather. Bear with me. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for being patient with me, my dear friends. I was thinking over the weekend, what makes a person leave the comfort and love of God to run after the world and all its attractions? When Elijah and Elisha were God's prophets in an idolatrous Israel, King Ahab could have humbled himself and turned to God, especially after the barbecue where God licked up the sacrifice and even the water around the altars. Oh, my goodness. He could have said, whoa, that's enough for me. I believe there's a God. No, he defiantly tried to outmaneuver God every time. So I looked into King Ahab's background, and King Omri was Ahab's father, and he was a powerful leader. Also in battle, he was very victorious, but he was not known as a spiritually upright leader. In fact, scripture explicitly states that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and acted more wickedly than all who were before him, 1 Kings 16, verse 25. This description is a strong condemnation, indicating that his actions were contrary to God's commandments and the covenant relationship between God and Israel. Remember the covenants he made with not only Abraham at the very beginning, but Moses and David. Oh, my goodness. David was a man who God was after. And God just loved him in spite of what happened. So we want to be godly. We want to be obedient as Elijah and Elisha were. And here Omri, his reign was, he brought victory to Israel after a civil war. And he founded Samaria as the capital that his son Ahab and Jezebel lived in, and he established a powerful dynasty. But his story is defined by spiritual decline. He is described in leading Israel into idolatry, setting a precedent for his son Ahab, who did win battles, but his apostasy led Israel down a slippery slope. In contrast to the ideal of a spiritual man, what is a spiritual woman and man? One who worships God alone, as Elijah and Elisha's stories last week described them as being obedient and anointed followers of God. They lived in covenant faithfulness and led the people in righteousness. Omri's actions aligned with a biblical portrayal of a leader who prioritized political power and military success above spiritual integrity. His reign thus stands as a cautionary example of how a leader's choices can set the nation on a path of moral and religious corruption. We've seen that in our administration here in the United States. His evil motives and actions set the stage for further spiritual decline under his son Ahab, who married the daughter of the Sidonian king, the idol worshippers, and the two of them wreaked havoc. Excuse me, this is Monday. Can you tell this is Monday? Wreaked havoc on the nation of Israel. So Israel, and I believe that's in part not only the Sabbath that they didn't recognize and honor, but I believe with all the evil kings that followed, that God had just had enough. I've had enough. In one battle against Israel's army, Aram, Ahab killed 100,000 foot soldiers in one day. In one day, folks, and a wall of the city fell on 27,000 others. But Ahab made a covenant with the king of Aram, and the Lord was angry because Ahab didn't kill him. And you know why? God had proposed in his heart that Israel would be a pure country. No intermarriages with idolaters. None of that. A pure nation of God to worship him. So he did get he was a God of judge. He did get rid of enemies of Israel and people who would influence Israel to worship idols. This reminds me of, and Ahab didn't kill this king. It reminds me of King Saul, who kept back the best for the, quote, sacrifice. I can't understand their reasonings. And the Lord said to Ahab, because you have let go out of your hand the man whom I had devoted to destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life and your people for his people. This made Ahab mad and depressed. He didn't get his way. And that's when he went into his bedroom and pouted all night long, wallowing in self-pity. Watch for those selfish markers in your life. Do you talk about yourself much more than listen to others? To make things right in his warped mind, Ahab thought that maybe a new project would be just the perfect thing to get him out of the funk he was in. So seeing Naboth, this precious man who loved God, Naboth's vineyard right outside his palace window, he went into him and asked if he could buy his vineyard from him. You know, that's human tendency. When things don't go your way, do you throw your weight around and try to maneuver and manipulate and gain control some other way? Oh, there's lots of ways, folks. That's exactly what Ahab did. And when Naboth said no to the sale of his property, of course not. It's like if even the governor of Colorado came and offered me twice as much as I would think my property was worth. Do you think I'd sell it to him? No way. No way, as they say, no way, Jose. So Ahab went into his room and again had another temper tantrum. This is where Jezebel took over and made up a devious plot to get the vineyard away from Naboth. And you know how that happened. He was stoned to death. It's just so sad. A sad, sad story. Lies and murder followed them wherever they went. And you can read this in 1 Kings 21:11. Selfishness results in great calamity, and that's what happened to Ahab. He was selfish, only thinking of himself and allowing that emotional upheaval of being told no to get to him. His sins brought him into constant conflict and strife with other nations around him. Jezebel's manipulation and control only drug him down deeper into the pit and closer to destruction until he was killed in a third war against Aram. And the dogs licked up his blood, just as you will read, if you're reading with me in the Word Power, you have already read it, that Jezebel, they threw Jezebel down from a window, probably second floor window. She landed on the ground, and then when the chariots and everything went over her, all they could find were her hands, her skull, and one other thing. And yet the dogs were licking her blood. So both times, dogs licked up their blood. Oh, how sad. What a horrible, horrible death. And you know, when you hear of people like Lindsey Graham, who went to be with the Lord, he's 71, and that was just yesterday, you realize what a difference it is from an evil person dying and a godly person who you know immediately is going to be with the Lord. And there are just nothing but accolades of how honorable he was, how he brought the two sides together in so many ways. And so we will miss him. We will miss the godly. The evil ones, not so much. Let's look at Paul's life. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and both he and Ahab were Jewish by birth. And when he was Saul, his zeal for winning popularity among his group, and you can see that in the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned and Saul, who became Paul, proudly stood by and watched. But Paul was humbled, and that one experience changed his life. He became a man after the ways of God and wanted more than anything else to please the Lord. In contrast, Ahab wanted more than anything else to please Jezebel. That's right, and himself. Paul was looking beyond what he would attain here on this earth. He looked to the future. Here are some words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 in the Living Translation. And you can just see the humility just being in the verses of Scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And that's what he did with King Ahab, blinded his eyes. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. No. Do you like to be around people who talk about themselves? Ooh, yeah, I don't. I excuse myself very quickly. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Remember, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so that we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus was saying in John 10 that he and God were one. They're one. So we have now this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. No, we can't get built up and powered. Oh, sure, you can go to the gym, but when you get home, you're going to drink, and then you're going to relax, and then you're going to have something to eat, and forget about all those calories you burned at the gym. Verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 4. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. We get back up. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, as that life of Jesus may arise in our hearts, may also be seen in our bodies, not only in our spirits, folk, but actually be evidenced in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. And we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith that the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." Therefore, we believe, if we're in Jesus, therefore we speak. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. I'm doing all this, folks, for your benefit. And no self-pity. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. Oh, he's going to receive all the glory. And we are seated with him together, as it says here in verse 14, with Jesus, we will also be raised up with Jesus and present ourselves together with him before the Lord. And here in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, so rich is he in his mercy, because in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead by our own doing, in our own sins, our shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him, raised him up from the dead. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from the judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. Hallelujah. Yep, I'm reading from Ephesians 2. In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One. For it is by free grace that you are saved. Did you have to pay anything to be saved? Did you have to pay anything to receive the baptism? Did you have to pay anything to receive that wonderful gift of grace which is in our Lord Jesus? No. Delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. This is from Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, this has all been made free for us. And this salvation is not of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. And that's why we never give up. though our bodies are dying, oh, and we know they are, we want to keep our bodies going for so long. It's not going to happen, folks. Our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 4, right at the end of the chapter, right before you go into the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, oh, which is absolutely dynamite. Chapter. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary, folks. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I could sit in these chapters for the rest of my life and be comforted and assured of God's presence every moment of every day. I hope you're feeling the same way. Paul talks about the persecution that he endured, but he doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay there and mope and complain. No. Unlike Ahab, he goes on to proclaim the wonderful advantages of dying with Christ. Our message, folks, brings life to those who will listen, and they are seeds planted to those who will not listen. Somehow, precious Holy Spirit is at work, even in those who are rebellious and stiff-necked, because he does not desire that anyone go to hell. He desires that hell be empty of residents when Jesus is proclaimed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I hope that each day God grows a beautiful flower of his love in the garden of your heart. You have a very, very fertile heart. Yes, you do. And you can enjoy this heart. This is for you to enjoy all the wonderful attributes of God and his kingdom. Oh, I hope you enjoyed this. Tomorrow we're going to go into more of the things that Paul did in Colossae or Colossians, and we're going to enjoy the wonderful power of Jesus Christ. Join me then. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in